Well, hello everybody out in Turdville. This is Turd, and it is it's approaching noon on Friday, and we have at the conclusion of what has been a rather consequential couple of weeks in gold. We had a big rally out of the first of the year off of what I think are the final lows back in November and December, and now, just as predictable as spring following winter, or I guess we should say winter following summer, the metals are being washed back. It's a rather stressful situation for a lot of folks. And so I thought, hey, just for fun, we'd post this today. This is a discussion I thought would help everybody. I thought I'd bring in Bill Holter. Bill is an associate writer. He's a precious metal specialist with Miles Franklin. Many of you, though, have seen Bill's work all over the internet. He's a very prolific writer and is very good at what he does and helping us all keep perspective. And so I thought, what better guy than Bill to bring in today just to kind of help everybody keep their head screwed on straight this weekend. So Bill, thank you very much for coming into Turdville. I hope you're doing well.
My pleasure, Turd.
Man, we are, like I said, it's been a couple of consequential weeks. We saw huge rally, gold up 8% in January, and a massive capping effort put forth by the gold banks to try to keep price in check from getting it away too far. And then again, not surprisingly, now they're washing all those shorts back out. What do you think of this process? Do you think, is this presenting now an opportunity because the trend has changed for 2015? Or where do you think we stand here on February the 6th?
Well, I agree with you that the lows were in November. If you look at just the first 3 weeks of January, the Chinese have imported 200 tons. Let's put the 200 tons in perspective. COMEX only purportedly has 23 tons to deliver.
Right.
So just in 3 weeks, the Chinese have imported 9 or 10 times the amount of gold that COMEX has in total to deliver. So COMEX, what I'm trying to get across here is COMEX is a very, very small tail wagging a very big dog.
Yep.
And if you take, let's say that the Chinese pull in 260, 270 tons total for January, that's a run rate of 3,000 tons of gold.
Just this year.
Right. 3,000 tons in relation to what is actually pulled out of the ground, the total global production, if you take China and Russia out, and you need to do that because they do not export anything that they mine, the total production is 2,400 tons. So China is taking on their own 120% of global production. Then you add in India, which will be, who knows, 800 to 1,000 more tons.
Yep.
And then you got the rest of the world. So it's clear that the supply and demand, the real supply and demand, is grossly imbalanced. And prices should be much, much higher in order to clear supply and demand.
But it still manages to get done, and people look at the COMEX, this derivative created price, where I don't think people really understand this either, Bill. It's such a small market. I mean, the notion is put out there that investors worldwide shunned the yellow metal today, when actually those that are affecting that price in the COMEX is maybe 6 or 8 bank trading desks on one side of the trade, and about 50 or 60 large technical trading funds on the other side. And that's it.
Right. And, well, we were talking about this earlier before we started taping. IBM stock has, let's call it, 1 billion shares outstanding. What would happen to IBM's stock price if some counterfeited 100 billion shares and sold them? The stock price would be down to pennies. And that's literally what's happened in the gold market. You've got 1 real ounce for every 100 paper ounces that are created. And if you look at the COT report, the commercials, just for the month of, well, in the last 2 weeks, I guess, created, an extra, what was it, 100,000 contract?
Exactly. Short. Just since the first of the year, it's about 117,000 contracts of paper gold.
Yeah, so you're talking about millions and millions of ounces that were freely created. Now, when they get freely created and sold onto the market, what do you think is going to happen to price? And this is price of COMEX, but it, to this point, it has still affecting the real market. Now, you've got people like Rob Kirby who say that for big trades, 25 tons, 50 tons, 100 tons, that in order to clear those, buyers are actually paying a 50% premium or higher. I tend to believe that. I've not seen any outright hard physical proof, but I tend to believe that that's probably not too far out of the ballpark.
I wish I was in a position to find out personally, you know, if that's the case. I mean, it I don't know either, and I don't know what Rob's source is of that. I wish I could go out and try to buy a metric ton myself just to see what kind of premium that is, how long it takes to actually get my hands on it, that type of thing. But you're right. And I've been speaking about this quite a bit here at the site, in that what people don't understand is that if you go, say, most people understand stock trading, right? They might be long IBM, like you said. And they own IBM, and some news comes out and IBM starts to rally, and it's rallying because price has to find an equilibrium between buyers and sellers. There's a finite amount of stock available for purchase or sale every single day. IBM's not out there managing their float every day, but that's not how the metals work. When there's demand coming in for paper metal, as we saw all through January, the banks just simply create more paper metal. And that's what you were referencing. I mean, they created over 100,000 new short contracts in just 5 weeks at the beginning of this year. 100,000, that's 10 million ounces. They don't even have 10 million ounces in the entire COMEX,
right?
In the vaults. But they just create it from thin air. And they get away with it because they know that eventually, by capping price, that momentum will stall. Price will start going back down. They'll break it back under some key technical indicator like they did today, breaking it under the 200-day moving average. It'll cause all these specs that rushed in to rush right back out. And as they rush back out and close their positions, the banks close back up all these shorts that they issued.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, that passes for a fair market. But that's what the situation is. And it's sad that so few, I mean, I feel like you and I and about maybe seven or eight other people on the face of the planet actually understand that. That's what gets so frustrating.
Well, and even some people who understand it deny it.
Well, that's true too. That's true too. That always leaves you scratching your head too. What have you seen on the physical front, at least anecdotal there to Miles Franklin? How has business been so far this year? Have you seen an uptick in individual sales of or purchases of metal?
Yeah, we definitely had a very good January.
Good.
The Swiss news really lit a fire under some people.
Right.
And it, as well it should, because
right.
the Swiss move was the euro, and we can talk about the whys if you want to. But the Swiss move, the immediate gap or move within 5 minutes was about 30%, and it settled back less than that. But that was the original gap move. And I think it opened some eyes. I think it opened some people's eyes that you can go to bed wealthy and wake up, you know, if you've got position time, you can wake up and be completely wiped out.
Right.
And that's, I mean, that happened, in several instances. You had the, what was it, FXCM.
Right.
The clearing firm. They woke up that morning and boom, they were insolvent.
As were quite a few individuals as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The point being, that was just the Swiss Euro cross. Now what happens if if, oh, I should say when, because it is really when that happens with other currencies, when that happens with other assets, you know, we saw a complete wipeout of oil going from $110 down to $43 or $44. What happens if you wake up one morning and all of a sudden oil is $90 bid and it closed the night before at 55? How many people get, I mean, how many firms, how right. What does it do to derivatives?
Right.
Same thing with gold. I am a firm believer that at some point in time, and it'll probably be from a little bit higher level than we are now. So let's use $1,500. I firmly believe you're going to go to bed one night with gold at $1,500. You wake up the next morning, it'll be $4,000 bid and nothing off.
I don't disagree with you. I see that coming. That's all part of likely why they put those trading collars on that they've never had before as well.
Well, and it's all part and parcel of why every time gold moves higher, they have to hit it. They have to, they cannot allow any excitement in the market. They cannot allow a wave to get started. And that's, if you look at the whole macro picture, take today's employment report, for example, it's complete bull. I mean, for them to revise December and revise November up, what was it, 100,000 or
more than that, I think.
Month. That's ridiculous. The economy sucks. And for them to say that we've created 1 million jobs in the last 3 months is completely bogus. It's laughable. And my thought is the worse the economy gets, naturally the bigger the lies have to get.
Yeah.
But they're not only getting bigger, they're getting exponentially bigger. Because even though the economy's shrinking and declining, now they're saying that the economy's doing better than it has than ever in the last 15 years.
And somehow the U.S. alone is just kicking ass and taking names, because you don't see that kind of growth anyplace else in the world.
No.
But yet we're supposed to believe that. Hey, I want to just kind of go off in a different direction real quick, and before I forget to ask you about this, because you've been in the securities industry for your whole life. I mean, you were a stockbroker, you were a branch manager, all that stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been studying this stuff for decades, and there's this new normal out there that has been established of what we call NERP, negative interest rate policy. And I think it's just astounding that, and breathtaking even, how people have just swallowed this as being, again, just normal. You know, this is just par for the course. I saw a thing just last night that now 16%, 1/6 of the entire global government sovereign debt market now has a negative yield. Something like $3.5 trillion of notional value of bonds has a negative yield. And this is just swallowed as being, yeah, shit, isn't that great? What? Now, first of all, from a fundamental perspective, you know, you get these people that say, well, you shouldn't own gold because it doesn't pay a dividend, doesn't pay any interest, it's just a piece of metal that sits there and collects dust. Well, your bank account, your bonds, even a corporate bond from Nestle went negative this week. That's actually negative interest. At least gold is 0%. So
right.
from just that basic fundamental is one thing. But these central banks have now created so much cash that it's sloshing all over the place looking for the safety of some kind of yield. And its global yield curves are as flat as they could possibly be. Hell, even the German Bund, 10-year Bund, now yields less than the Japanese 10-year bond. Bill, this is all so, to me, it's, like I said, breathtakingly abnormal, strange. I mean, it's like nothing we've ever seen in our decades of doing this. And I just, again, to put that into some kind of English, what does that mean to you? And when you see all this, I mean, are you just flabbergasted? I mean, as you look back at everything that you've witnessed over the last however many decades you've been doing this, how weird is the present day?
It's from another planet. Look at what happened this past week in Denmark. They're actually giving mortgages out on real estate.
Yeah.
With negative interest rates.
How the hell does that even work? I'm trying to get my head around that.
I have no idea, because you're getting money from a bank to buy a house, and they're paying you to take the money.
So they're going to, I mean, are they paying part of your principal as well? So you're not paying any interest, and they're basically paying some of your principal for you every month. I'm like, that's just, I can't even begin to get my head wrapped around how screwy that is.
That's exactly right. When you make a payment, you're paying 100% of that payment down into principal. And whatever the negative interest rate is, your principal is going to decline by that amount per month or per year or whatever. I have no idea how it could possibly work, because what kind of financial institution can survive by every single day, every single month, losing money?
Exactly. What banking in this traditional, you know, Federal Reserve, fractional reserve banking system, that's why the Fed has a mandate of creating inflation, because without inflation, you can't continually service all this debt that you continue to build up.
Right.
So how can a bank even, you can't do banking with negative interest rates, but yet, again, that's a perfect example of how screwed up things are.
But they are. Like you said, they can't do it, but they are. And logistically, or using common sense, or using a calculator and calculus, it doesn't work. I don't see how it works.
So, Bill, let's just kind of put things back together for everybody listening to us here this weekend. The paper price has been predictably shoved back down. We had all these speculators rush into both paper gold and paper silver, and they're all getting flushed out. Hell, the CME has raised margins on silver twice in inside of 2 weeks. We know how panic-stricken they are to get the specs back out, right? But the paper price has been driven down. But as you mentioned, the physical demand dynamics haven't changed. We're even expecting maybe a tariff cut out of India. That's only going to increase demand there. And the world is just impossibly messed up. From a financial standpoint, negative interest rates being just a clear symptom that's just staring everybody right in the face. So, Bill, what's your advice? That makes it sound like we're in the business of giving advice. But for everybody listening, what would you tell them this weekend?
If you haven't done so, take advantage of low prices in precious metals to get some. And if you have not pared down, sold off, whatever you want to call it, paper assets such as stocks, bonds, things like that, take advantage of the false high prices and follow Jim Sinclair's advice. Get out of the system, because the system is going to implode. This is no longer Bill Holter or Turd Ferguson's opinion. This is math. I mean, this is just pure and simple back to the napkin math. It's going to implode.
An eventuality. I mean, and it's not so much where we're talking theoretically decades from now either, or years from now. I mean, I think you're talking more in the short term.
Yeah, I think over the next year or 2 years, we have an implosion where literally everything's going to close for a time. And that is also going to affect distribution. When I say distribution, I'm saying it will affect your ability to go to Walmart and buy stuff.
Right.
Because not only, forget about the credit side where you can't use your credit card or your debit card doesn't work, even if you have cash in hand, Walmart's not going to be able to stock their shelves, because their shelves get filled via credit. In other words, Walmart pays the truck driver pays for his gas. The product itself goes through three or four middlemen all the way back to the farmer or the producer or whatever. And there's six or seven layers of credit for that wheat to turn into bread to show up on the shelf. And when credit seizes up, and that's what is going to happen, is credit is going to seize up, the loaf of bread's not going to make it to Walmart's shelf.
Yeah. Yeah. And look at, as just the latest example, look at the shelves of the markets in New York and Boston and Providence and, during that last snowstorm.
Yeah, they wipe,
once they're cleared out, they're cleared out.
Right, they wipe them out in a day or 2 days, and it's gone. And if credit is not flowing, it's not like, okay, the storm's gone, now we can get product back to the shelves.
Right.
If credit doesn't flow, product is not going to arrive.
Right.
When product doesn't arrive, because man's human nature, or whatever you want to call it, when man can't have something, he wants it even more.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, here we're talking about food. That's a necessity. But when man can't have something, he's going to want it even more. And if you want to equate that into the silver and gold markets, once that supply dries up, the price will absolutely explode, because when people can't get gold or silver, they're going to want it even more. The people who have it will want to sell it even less.
No question about it. And the actual metal can't just simply be created from thin air like the paper derivatives can.
Right. I'm not talking about calling your broker and saying, you know, buy me 100 shares of GLD.
Right, exactly.
I'm talking about, you know, actually getting 10 ounces or 100 ounces or whatever in your hand.
Yep.
It's got to actually exist for you to buy it.
Yep. Bill, what I have mentioned to people, I can't even tell how many times I stumbled upon this little saying about 90 days ago, and I've probably repeated it several times a week for the last 3 months. Your metal, your physical metal that you have in your possession, from a dollar conversion standpoint, yeah, the price is down. Yep. But it has never been more valuable in all the time that I've been doing this. If you have to ask yourself if you have enough in preparation for what Bill has been saying, you likely don't. Bill, tell everybody, I mean, let's at the end turn this into a commercial. I mean, I think Miles Franklin is great. Where do people go to contact Miles Franklin if they want to stock up some more at these prices?
You can go to www.milesfranklin.com, or you can call and ask for one of the brokers at 800-822-8080.
And you do excellent work, my friend. You put out a couple things a day. Like I said, you're just a great writer and a great source of information. Where can people find your work?
You can go to the Miles Franklin website, and on the top, almost all the way to the left-hand corner, there's a box that says blogs. Just mouse over that, and my name, David Schechtman, Andy Hoffman, our names drop down, and just click on Bill Halter, and all of my work is archived. It seems like it's a couple pieces a day, Turd, but it's only 4 pieces a week.
Is that right? Wow. It just seems like I see, maybe it's because so many people recognize the value of what you do that I just see it everywhere too. So maybe that's part of what it is. But you do write great stuff. And I encourage everybody, if you're not visiting that Miles Franklin site, to read Bill's stuff, read Andy Hoffman's stuff, everybody. I mean, it's a place you should stop every day. Bill, I want to thank you for stopping by on this crazy morning. And I know I know people listening to this right now are going, yeah, that was worth my time. So thank you. And I hope we can visit again soon. Hopefully not on a day like this, but just to keep everybody apprised of what we see in the world.
I look forward to it, Turd.
All right, my friend. Have a good weekend.
You too.